A little over a year ago, New York Times op-ed columnist Joe Nocera set out on a mission. He wanted to find as many media reports of gun violence in the United States as he could. Since February of last year, he's been compiling those reports and sharing them with the public.
He joins us now to tell us why he's doing it and what he's learned along the way. Joe Nocera, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, why did you start this compilation of gun violence reports in the United States?
Well, somebody had to. Well, it happened sort of like pretty much by accident. I wrote a column in which I just listed examples of gun violence that had taken place that week, and it hit me. It was a very powerful column, I thought, and readers really reacted to it. And I thought that one thing that was missing in the gun debate was something that would give you a feel for the size and scope of the problem. So with the help of my assistant, who, to be frank, does most of the work at this point, we just started. All we just did was a simple Google News search and just compiled every gun incident that we came up with that we could find. And it was really as simple as that. So we've been doing it now for a year plus.
And what kind of stories count as a hit? What gets included?
Well, if it's in the newspaper or in some media, it gets included. I mean, we don't have the ability, suicides tend not to get included because most suicides don't make the newspaper. But anything from a drive-by gang shooting to a tragedy where a child is hurt or killed because there's a gun in the house, makes the cut. And there have been times when we've reported on somebody using a gun to protect themselves from an intruder. The gun rights people often accuse us of skewing it to make gun owners look bad, but we actually don't skew it. We just report what we find.
And how many stories do you come across in a given day or a given week?
I'd say in a given day, anywhere between 20 and 30.
20 and 30.
And on weekends, it's much, much, much worse. It's probably more like 50 a day, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And we do a weekend one that just takes forever to compile because it's so long.
And you're not intending this as science, but how do the numbers you find compare to other efforts to track gun violence?
I don't know because I don't know that anybody else is doing this. I mean, other people have tracked it purely with numbers, like Slate tried to do that for a while, and it's been picked up by somebody else. But I don't have any way of gauging our numbers versus anybody else's numbers. And in truth, I don't have the time or the effort to try and figure that out. What I wanted to show was what a representative sample of gun violence in America looked like on a day-to-day basis, and that's what we've done fairly successfully.
Well, I printed off just a small snippet of some from the Friday report. Just that was the most recent one when I printed. Here's a little bit. Torrance Gamble, 16, was shot in the head and killed in New Haven, Connecticut, Thursday night. The second teenager to be killed in a shooting in New Haven in the past 2 weeks. Police have not released suspect information or a motive. That's from the New Haven Register. Bobby Lee Cristofoli, 42, was shot and killed during an argument with an acquaintance outside a home in Lexington County. Sierra Simmons and Control Perkins were shot and killed in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And it goes on and on. And as you say, 20 to 30, maybe 50 a day. What, by printing this, what are you hoping a reader gets out of it and thinks and feels when they hear and read those stories?
Well, I think one takeaway is how preventable so much gun violence is. I think you read these, especially there's so much. I've learned a lot from this myself. One is, how much gun violence is the result of momentary rage or anger that just, you just happen to have a gun, so you grab the gun and you shoot the guy. Another is how many children die because there's a gun in the house. I was really surprised. I mean, it's probably not every day, but it's probably every other day we have at least one of those. But we're trying to show how the extent to which it really is an epidemic of violence. That it's if you live in a place, you only read about the violence that takes place in your community, and when you see this, you realize that this is happening all over the country every single day. It's not something that's just happening once in a while, and that it really is of epidemic proportion.
Are there, you mentioned accidental deaths related to children, arguments. Are there other themes or just stories you keep seeing again and again?
Well, there certainly is a lot of gang violence. There's drive-by shootings is definitely something. And, you know, I'm surprised. And there's a lot of murder-suicides. I've been surprised by that, too, where, you know, somebody shoots his children and wife and then shoots himself there's just a lot of that as well. Those are the ones that really stick in my mind.
Doing this every day, praying this, do you get depressed?
Yes, I do. My assistant gets really depressed because she's the one who's looking them up every day. And she'll often send me a note saying it's a particularly grim one, you know, and she'll have the first five or six will be, you know, children. It really does get to you. It's very depressing, and I don't know what else to say. It's very depressing.
Are you intending this, at least in part, as a political statement?
I don't know what that means exactly. I'm a journalist.
Well, I guess are you doing this hoping that some kind of political response comes from it in terms of guns and how we deal with them?
Yes, I most certainly am. You know, I'm an opinion columnist, and I have an opinion, which is that there are too many guns in the United States, and we would be better served with fewer, and with people having guns. I know that the political climate mitigates against that, but even now, there's a senator from Connecticut, Chris Murphy, who reads from the gun report. I don't know if he still does this, but he used to read from the gun report every Monday afternoon. And pick a few of those names and tell the stories behind them. So, I mean, I think it has had some political reaction.
That's Joe Nocera. He stays with us after the news. He's an op-ed columnist at the New York Times. He compiles what we're talking about, the Gun Report, a daily tracking of media reports of gun-related violence here in the United States.
We continue our conversation now with Joe Nocera, op-ed columnist for the New York Times. We're talking about his daily gun report, an effort to track incidents of gun violence in the United States.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question about how his daily tracking of media reports of gun-related violence? Have you read the Gun Report? What did you think? What did you feel when you looked at that? 800-642-1234 or email talk@WPR.org. We'll go to our callers now. We've got Shane on the line in Chicago. Shane, hi. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
What did you want to bring up?
I just was wondering if the report includes the opposite of violence, that was stopped or curtailed or incidences where someone perhaps protected themselves and others or saved their own lives.
Gotcha.
Because they had a legal gun and they did know how to use it.
Shane, thanks for the call. You briefly touched on that earlier, Joe, but you want to delve into that a little more?
I get asked that question a lot, and I get accused of not including such anecdotes. But in fact, when a gun is used to prevent a crime or a break-in or something, and a gun is shot, we do use it. If there's no shot and it doesn't make the newspapers, you know, we don't. We don't put it in. So, you know, are we undercounting that? I've been accused of that, but I don't really think we are.
Do you think the media undercounts that? I mean, that's an accusation from gun rights advocates that the media is more reluctant, doesn't see it as a story if there's a positive use of a firearm.
Yes, I know that, but I know the media gets accused of that, but the statistics are pretty clear that having a gun in your house is far more likely to cause harm to someone in your family than it is to a burglar.
Shane, thanks a lot for the call. We'll go now to Joy in West Bend. Joy, hi.
Hi. I want to thank your guest for undertaking this project, and you really did kind of answer my question. I was wondering how many people have a gun for their own protection in their home or on their person that actually get hurt by that. I remember the statistics for that used to be brought out in arguments for gun control, but I haven't heard that lately.
I don't know what the I don't remember what the statistical figure is.
Right, and you're not tracking statistics in your in the gun report, but how common is that as a theme over the last year of printing these?
You mean people being hurt because there's a gun in the house?
Mm-hmm.
It's extremely common. The ones that stick to my in my mind the most are the people, you know, the kids who get hurt or killed. Because they find a gun under the bed or there's a loaded gun in the house somewhere. So those are the most memorable. But there's also there's a whole category of gun violence that I call this it's a momentary flash of anger. And if there wasn't a gun in the house, it might have turned into a fist fight, you know, or maybe less. But because there's a gun in the house, somebody grabs the gun and shoots somebody else. And I find that to be quite a common theme in the gun report.
Short of a change in laws or gun control, do you think reading stories like this, talking about this, could lead to a change in our culture where we try to keep that gun at a remove to get past that flash of anger?
Well, one of the things I've come away from one of the things I've come away from in doing the gun report is a belief that you could change a lot without any legislative change if you could change the culture. If people felt a need to keep their gun under lock and key, if people just took, you know, better care of their guns. I mean, I know a lot of people do, but a lot of people don't, and that's what one of the things I've learned. And I think that if you could change that culture, you could reduce gun deaths by 50%.
Thanks for the call, Joy. We'll go to Kathy now over in Door County. Kathy, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to thank you so much for that report. I read the Times every day. I've been following it. I think every day when I read it, sometimes I've moved to tears almost. And it used to be that Jim Lehrer used to have something on at the end of his show where he showed the people that were killed in the war. And wouldn't it be wonderful at the end of every major news broadcast, they would just read this report. And I think that might do something to change the culture in this country, because if people actually heard that and listened to it, maybe it would change the opinions of people that everyone has to have a gun in their home. And I thank you again so much.
Kathy, thanks for the call. Joe, do you get a lot of responses like that?
I do. I get a fair number of emails and responses that basically say thank you for doing this. I also at some point when after Newtown, when people were, you know, when the furor had died down a little and we were still hanging in there with the gun report, I got an email from somebody that said you couldn't stop this now even if you wanted to. It's kind of the way I feel about it. It's like we own it.
It's interesting that it strikes people as so powerful. I mean, the language is not dramatic. It's prosaic. It reads like a police report or a newspaper, you know, the police blotter out of a newspaper. Just is there something about, I don't know, the number of them or just the sense of bearing witness to all these things? What is it that you think is powerful about this?
I think it's a little bit of both of those things. I do think the sheer number is sobering, but I also think that as you envision the incidents themselves, you know, so and so shot a 12-year-old in the face, and it causes you to recoil, and you know, it's kind of in your face in the sense that, you know, when you read the gun report, you can't ignore the level of gun violence that goes on, and it's hard not to be struck at how needless so much of it is. And I think all of those together caused the report to have a very sobering effect on people.
An email from John, he writes, whether one is for or against handguns in this country, there's, he says, an indisputable fact. There's more violence by handguns in the U.S. than any other country in the world, and more handguns in private hands in the U.S. than any country in the world. Do you think John has that right?
I do. I think it's pretty clear.
So our news team has just recently started an effort to track specifically gun homicides here in Wisconsin. Are you seeing more and more efforts to try to put not just numbers, but maybe the stories behind the numbers in places around the country?
Well, no, I applaud your effort, and it's the first such effort that I've actually heard of. You know, what generally happens is that after there is a new town, people are up in arms and extremely upset and agitated, and then over time we become inured to it, and it tends to fade away, and efforts like the gun report tend to end until the next one. And so, you know, from my point of view, I haven't seen a lot of efforts to do what you guys are trying to do, and I wish you all the luck on it.
Our listeners can follow that at WPR.org. Joe, before I let you go, no plans to end the gun report anytime soon?
No, sir. Right. We're in for the long haul.
Joe, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
That was Joe Nocera. He's op-ed columnist for the New York Times, where he maintains the gun report.